Our next piece looks at another way that the science of genetics has given us choices. Just like Christina and her partner could make guesses about the future of their child from information about his father, so too can scientists take information from our parents, like diseases they've had, and make guesses about our futures. Producer Laura Chow spoke to one woman who had her life changed by genetic science.
When do you start treating yourself for a disease? When your boyfriend gets a cold, do you reach for the vitamin C even if you don't have a cold? If your parents develop diabetes, do you start eating less sugar? Some diseases, sickle cell anemia or color blindness, are completely genetic, but most genetic mutations only predispose you to a disease. They increase your chances of getting schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, depression. When do you start treating yourself for a disease you're arguably born with but won't necessarily ever get? How far would you go to prevent yourself from getting sick?
Picture yourself planning the most amazing trip, and just before you get on the plane, the pilot turns to you and tells you that you have an 85% chance of going down, of the plane crashing. Would you still get on the plane? I decided that I wouldn't anymore.
Colleen Lyle is one of an unknown number of women who were born with a genetic predisposition to breast cancer. The mutation can occur in one of two genes, called BRCA1 and BRCA2. Although they're named for their relationship to breast cancer, they also increase your odds of getting ovarian cancer for women, or, to a lesser extent, prostate cancer and breast cancer for men. As the gene was only discovered in the late 90s, these genes have been passed down through families for many generations without any detection.
My grandmother died of ovarian cancer, and like most ovarian cancer stories, it's an ugly one where she went in for an appendectomy and they closed her up immediately and knew there was nothing more they could do for her. It had obviously shaken my mother, losing her own mother at such an early age. So she took her own precautions and had an early hysterectomy. What is interesting was when my grandmother died, shortly thereafter, McGill University located my mother and her sister and said, you seem to have a lot of cancer in your family. Would you mind donating your blood? Because we're doing a study wondering if there's a genetic link.
So at this point, Colleen's mom goes in to meet some researchers, gives them a little blood, and goes back home to return to her normal daily life again. She raises her four daughters, she sends them into adulthood, and becomes a grandmother before one day the researchers contact her again.
30 years later, 20 years later, the McGill University found my mom here in Ottawa and said, "We found the gene. Wondering if you want to get tested for it now." Oh. I remember her telling us, saying they had found the gene in her blood, and that it was up to the four of us if we wanted to get tested.
Colleen and her sisters, who were in their early 20s at the time, all agreed to get tested. They simply made appointments and, just like their mother, gave the researchers some blood and waited. It can take up to a year to get your results back from a BRCA test. Colleen waited 3 months for hers.
I walked away and didn't really think about it until that day. When I got my diagnosis, I remember I was the last of my three sisters to get her results. Two had already been positive and one negative. So because the odds of getting this gene are 50-50, I thought, two already do, so I'm probably the two that don't. And I didn't think about it any other way. When I got my, I remember sitting there, and when she said, "Do you think you have it?" I said, "No," and gave her the reasoning why. She said, "Well, you do."
Colleen remembers crying, mostly out of relief to have an answer. She waited to find out what the results would mean for her, since your chances of getting cancer with the BRCA mutation still vary from family to family.
Once you get a positive diagnosis, you get a letter with that diagnosis. And verbatim, I can remember this line in it stating that I had up to 85% chance of getting breast cancer, but in my family, that rate seems significantly higher.
Around this time, some other information was also given to Colleen. Although she and her family hadn't kept close ties with their extended family, the researchers who were conducting the BRCA study had put some pieces together.
The geneticist drew up a family tree, and it was very intriguing. What it showed was that all my grandmother's sisters and brothers had died of either breast or ovarian cancer, and one woman even died of unknown causes at age 30, but they could pretty much tell that it was breast cancer.
Colleen was, of course, surprised and afraid. She already had two daughters at the time that she feared would be affected by this mutation as well. She found work in a cancer support group to help others who had already struggled with cancer. But like many people faced with a daunting new reality, she remained largely in denial.
Being in my early 20s, I really did not understand what it fully meant to carry the gene and how your life forever changes once you get a positive diagnosis. I went on with my life for a number of years, and I had another child, another girl. I just went on living.
Ironically, Colleen's job at the breast cancer support group almost served as an enabler for her denial. Most of the women there were breast cancer survivors, people who had been through treatment and had now recovered. In this environment, it didn't occur to Colleen that cancer isn't a cold or a flu, but a deadly, incurable disease. Until one day, someone who still had cancer came by to say hi.
There was this one woman, Diane, who often came in. She was an ex-board member and still going through a lot of chemotherapy. She came in just to chat, and she talked about her week last week and how horrible chemotherapy was. And she explained to me something that sounds so silly, but I learned that there is no cure for breast cancer, that if you get breast cancer, you don't really beat it. You just try and make it quiet, and hopefully it doesn't get angry again.
Many women diagnosed with BRCA choose to have their breasts removed as a preventative measure. Colleen knew at this point, with three little girls in her care, that she had to go through with the surgery. For her, though, it was an even more frightening prospect than it is for most women.
My little sister decided that she had had enough, and she was going to have a mastectomy, and it did not go well. She woke up in a lot of pain, which is, I know, surprises most people, but generally, a mastectomy is not that painful. So she woke up in a lot of pain and ended up several weeks later, infection on one side, and they removed, one of the reconstructed breasts. A couple weeks later, infection on the other side, and she had to have that breast removed. There were surgeries in between the removal. She was sick with full infection at a septic point, which means it's in her blood.
Colleen waited as her sister suffered through 11 months of surgery after surgery, physical and emotional pain.
To watch someone make the choice, and I had done so much research and talked to so many women and heard that the risk of complications were so low, watching her go through what she went through scared me horribly. It took me forever to to get over that mental hump of knowing that I still needed to do the surgery. She still doesn't really have answers as to what happened, which, you know, is even more difficult. But I knew that I couldn't put my path parallel to hers, that I had to decide that my path was going to be my path. And in all honesty, she's 32 and breathless and unfortunately scarred. She still doesn't have cancer. And you get to that point, even if I ended up like my sister, it's still better than going through chemotherapy. So.
Colleen went in for her surgery just about the time her sister was giving up her chances at reconstruction.
My surgery was January 8th this year, and I was definitely scared. I thought about my sister the whole time and knew that I just had to focus on something positive. My surgery was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was out and in recovery by 11:30. I chose not to keep my nipples, so I have literally a line right across each breast. They remove all your breast tissue, and then they insert this expander, and it does exactly what it sounds like. I get saline solution fills every couple of weeks, and they slowly expand the chest muscle wall until I'm happy with whatever size I choose, which is kind of a nice idea. With the expansion process, there's no doubt about it, they are rock hard. Some women call them their turtle shells.
Today, and for the past year through her preparation and surgery, Colleen has been the founding member of the Hereditary Breast and Ovarian Cancer Group in Ottawa, Canada.
The existence of being a BRCA carrier, you feel like you have one foot in the gutter all the time. And I wanted to make sure that no one felt as alone and lost as I did.